It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello, welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. It is Christmas Eve, and we have a fantastic show for you today, and it is our 150th
show. Can you believe it?
iHeartRadio.
Wow.
iHeartRadio.
I cannot believe that.
150, man. We have an amazing show for you today with Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers in Law, myself, Blue, and Mr. Joe Grande is at home with his family doing the damn thing. We want to thank you guys for joining Cannabis Talk 101 podcast. And anytime you want to reach us, call us up at 1-800-420-1980. Guys, that number again in Spanish, Craig.
1-800-420-1980.
And do you have it in?
I do. In Hebrew for the, it's Happy Hanukkah. Well, Hanukkah will be over, but we celebrated it. And Happy Hanukkah. And to all you Hebrews out there, you can call us at Shmoni Ephes Ephes Arba Shtayim Ephes Echat Tesha Shmoni Ephes.
And listen up, guys. You can follow us on IG at Cannabis Talk 101, Pot Brothers at Law, or at Pot underscore Brothers underscore at underscore Law. Mark is at Was Law, and Craig is at Was Law Dog. I am Blue, and you can catch me at 1 Christopher Wright. Hello, Amanda. How are you doing out there? And Mr. Joe Grande is at Joe Grande 52. Now, listen, guys. It is Merry, Merry Christmas time, and let me ask you this. I know you guys celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah and whatever else is out there, but for the Pot Brothers at Law, what is the Christmas gift that you want from somebody in the cannabis industry? Like, if someone was like, look, man, I'm gonna get you a gift, but it's got to be cannabis related, Craig, what is that gift?
I don't know.
how do you give somebody that has everything something?
That's a tough one. That's why I don't know. I think presents are overrated.
Nice. Well, that's fair for you to say, but we're talking about you getting a gift, the gift that keeps on giving, but in the cannabis industry, not like, you know, hey, I need a new car or a new watch or new glasses, new shoes. Cannabis gift. What is your cannabis gift of choice?
Big bag of weed.
Hey, that's it. You know what I mean? I like that. That's fair enough. And Mark?
2 pounds of concentrate.
2 pounds of concentrate. Well, you know, I thought about this for a second.
Did you get me 2 pounds of concentrate?
You know what? Guys, bring it in. Beep, beep, beep. There's a Now, we're bringing in a truckload of free weed for the Pot Brothers at Law. Now, you know, I thought about it. You know, if you were going to get me a cannabis gift, and you know, one of the things that I, you know, thought of, I said, you know, I'm not a big concentrate guy, because if I smoke a concentrate, I just feel too, like, zippy. I get jittery. I get jittery. I get clammy if I hit too much of it. I mean, it'll put me into space. So I would like just a little, you know, a box of pre-rolls from West Coast Cure. You know what I mean? One of those, like,
that's very specific.
Just a little pre-rolls. You know what I mean? Those little pre-rolls, you know, those are nice for me, guys. And listen,
perfect.
With the holiday season being here, you know, and obviously there's a lot of families out there this year that have been, you know, touched with COVID, and we want to, you know, send our hearts and our values out there. And we know a lot of you guys aren't going to have an opportunity to gather as we normally would for Christmas time. So, you know, I do encourage you guys to take the time to set up Zooms or FaceTimes and actually still spend that quality time with your family. You know, the world has been Zooming, as we have Craig Zooming in with us now. And it's something that allows us to still interact with our families and see them, you know, because not everybody is going to be getting together. Are you guys having a festive event at all?
Just at my house with my 3 kids and my wife.
And then Craig?
Yeah, we're just chilling like Thanksgiving. We just spent the two of us and her son who lives with us, and that's it.
Just
it was
immediate.
One of those years where it's, you know, with our parents being the age they are, our dad has medical issues. It's just not worth the risk of having, you know, a bunch of people get over in the same room, because you don't know where one person may have been in contact with one person who was in contact with someone else, and God knows where they were. And
that's it.
You know, it's not worth it with
the vaccine here and right around the corner.
Well, my parents being the age they are,
we've kept it down to 37 people. We're gonna have just 37 this year. You know, we are a Puerto Rican family, so we've got like 92 of us, but we're just gonna keep it down to 37. No, you know, it's weird because Thanksgiving for me, guys, it was the first year that we didn't have outside of the immediate family. Yeah. There was quite a few people there the year before. And then this year I showed up and my mom didn't give me the memo. She said, hey, we're having Thanksgiving and, you know, I'll come on through. And I showed up and I expecting to see, you know, I overbought, you know, dessert because I bring the dessert. So I overbought the dessert, you know. And
looks like you ate it, Blue.
Yeah. Yeah, I did eat it. I did eat it, you know. You know what I mean? And so.
You're messed up, Mark.
No. It's quite all right. It's quite all right.
Hey, I'm motivating him. He's got a goal for the new year we talked about.
We do. So you know, one thing is that, you know, I got there to the house, though, with the family, and it was just my brother, my mom, you know, my stepfather, and my wife and kids and stuff like that. It was very, very, you know, just immediate family. And then, you know, this year, Christmas is here, and we're doing it again. It's just going to be the immediate family. For me, you know, it's still a precious time, though. Sure. You know, having that little bit of time, having that small gathering for Christmas, it's still something. And again, I encourage you guys out there, think out the box, contact your family, let them know that you still want to celebrate Christmas. Just Zoom in, guys. And if you can't gather, and if you decide to gather, then I'm with that too. Have a blast and have fun.
Mask up.
Be safe and mask up. Yeah. Or, you know, just be safe out there. So, Mr. Mark Wasserman, do you have some information for us?
Well, actually, we have something special that we were going to break. I was hoping Joe was going to be here. I actually told Joe since he's not here, so we'll break it to you. Tomorrow in the studio, I know we're having a little get-together.
Immediate,
you know,
family.
Just the crew here and stuff. Well, we got hit up about a week or so ago. This company wants to do a documentary about the Pop Brothers at Law, and there's going to be a camera coming up here to interview you and Joe to talk about the Pop Brothers at Law.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
oh,
Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
Our Friday tomorrow.
That's fantastic.
So I told Joe earlier we were going to break that on the air. He was like, they're doing a documentary on you. Yep, the Pop Brothers at Law. It's about us. And
congratulations.
You'll have your chance to talk about us in any way you want. You know.
Hey, where are they going to show it?
I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah.
There's no other. That's the
that's
only
fantastic.
Thing. That's the only details we have at this point.
It's still under the cut.
That's so. It. We'll see.
You know, I'm looking at, like, you know, a Netflix original. You know what I mean?
I don't know. We don't know anything beyond
a True TV something.
That.
I get to wear a Batman outfit.
No, do you really?
You're well, then I'm going to be Robin.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be the Joker. You know, I'll tell you what, guys.
Joe can be the fat man.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to be. What was the fat guy's name?
The fat man.
The Riddler?
No, he was
the
skinny.
Penguin.
The penguin. Yes. Thank you.
The penguin.
The penguin.
I'll play the penguin. You know, I've got another couple months of the penguin. You're not going to be laughing no more, man. I'm gonna pull out the cheeks, boy.
What do you got some news for us, big brother?
No, I think we need some when cannabis goes bad.
That's funny because I actually have some news about the NBA continuing their policy of not testing players for cannabis. Because I really don't have any cannabis goes bad right now.
Well, some good news.
But I have this news.
Well, the Senate did just recently pass a bill that would allow doctors to discuss cannabis with patients. As we just heard, our I think it's our last podcast with Rick Toffin, that doctors are afraid still in medical only states, especially like Louisiana, to give advice on using cannabis. And this new bill passed by the Senate, who has been anti everything cannabis, allows expanded research. And it allows doctors to communicate with their patients about the benefits. Even though they want more research, they're allowed now to talk about the benefits that cannabis could have as an alternative treatment.
Yeah, and these
That's
doctors...
at the Senate level.
At the Senate level. You know what? We're going to discuss more about the NBA and their policy when we come back after this break. Woo!
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. And Mark, let us know what's going on in the NBA right now.
So, yeah, so the NBA is not tested for cannabis. And while it's still on the banned substance list, the NBA and the players, they had agreed to terms that while they were in the bubble, there wasn't going to be any testing. And that agreement is carrying over into the new season as cannabis legalization is becoming more and more common, with adult use fully legal in 15 states plus the District of Columbia. So, you know, you're going to have players and people going to these states where it's legal, and it makes sense to me that they shouldn't test. And, you know, you've got younger generations that lean more heavily toward legalization, and I imagine the loosening of this would... I don't think there's going to be any negative effect.
I mean, what the point is this. I think because of guys like Matt Barnes, who has his podcast, because of other professionals that are coming out post-career, you know, indicating the medical value of cannabis and how it's better for players than it is for all the opiates and other drugs that they take. I think it's a first step. I mean, I cannot see them going backwards. And why they used the pandemic as an excuse, I think is great, but I'm not sure why it took a pandemic to say, okay, we're not going to test for this anymore.
Sure.
It's just, it's silly, but I mean, we'll take what we can get, but you know, what are they going to do? Allow people to engage and use cannabis. And then next year go, okay, we're putting it back in.
You know, I don't think that it's because of COVID that they started not testing for cannabis. I think it's just, you know.
No, that's why. They bring up COVID. They bring up the pandemic.
Well, I know they
when they were in the bubble. And Adam Silver, you know, this is what Adam Silver said. When I've talked to players about it, I think they have mixed feelings. Some players. I think it's not so much about what guys do in the summer, if they want to smoke cannabis in the summer, whatever. It's legal in a lot of states. No issue. I do think there's a little bit of concern about some of the cannabis smoking in season. I think it's a team sport, and I think part of the reason we have the rules in place, there was a time not so long ago when there was a group of players who felt, because ultimately the Players Association has to agree on any testing, that maybe there was too much cannabis being smoked in season. But now they have to test positive three times when they do. If they start testing again, hopefully they won't, but it's still, this is just an outside agreement that they're carrying over. But the collective bargaining agreement says they have to test three times positive before they're suspended.
Right, they're postponing,
right.
Or they're abating.
They're not going to test.
Testing requirement right now. But see, that's the whole point too. What's the problem if it's in season?
Well, here's the thing.
What's the problem? As long as I've said this about everybody, every professional, anybody who smokes, if it affects how you work, you shouldn't do it.
No, I agree with you.
If it doesn't affect how you work, then why not?
Because you
be
can't
able to do it.
Because you can't drink it, even though it doesn't affect me. But I'm drinking today. It doesn't affect
drinking
me.
Different.
Well, why?
Alcohol is way different how it affects you when you take a drink or two.
Well, it affects you.
It's so much more different than taking a hit or two. And if that calms you down or whatever, makes you focus. We hear all the time, we heard from Santana, how creative that man is because he smoked weed.
Yeah, but he's a rock star, dude. He's not cutting limbs.
Yeah, hey, Matt Barnes played.
And so are your Matt Barnes.
Yeah, but let's talk about the guy at Home Depot cutting your wood and takes his thumb off, you know? I mean,
well, then he shouldn't be smoking weed and working. You're not listening to my point.
No. I hear your point. But I'm going to disagree with your point. I don't think a professional.
So you should blanketly, nobody should be able to smoke and do their job.
I think it's up to the professional business. So if the business says, hey, I don't want you to work on the union job and be high or drinking or cocaine or anything, I don't want you to drink while you're at my job, then I don't think they should be on a job drinking, smoking, or doing anything. That's the professional that hired you to do the job and do it the way they want it to done. And if you can't live up to that, then don't work for me. Now, if someone, and don't get me wrong, I do think that
a couple times a day, then they go take a couple hits, that you're going to disqualify them?
No, listen. So if it's for medicinal value, right, and that person has a legitimate illness, right, and they're saying, hey, it's going to help me get through my seizures, then I think it's still up to the job to say whether or not they can do it, because I can't go run.
Yeah, I mean, let me finish.
You can't do. I can't go move heavy equipment and start taking oxycodone because the doctor gave it to me. Do you know what I mean? And so because
I agree,
you know, so
this isn't oxycodone. No, this is cannabis.
I get it. But it's the same. It's the same as taking a lunch when it's not your lunch. It's not your lunch break, bro. And you took a lunch at 11 o'clock. It was at 12 o'clock, dude.
That's a false analogy.
It's a rule. It's a rule that they create. You know what I mean? And if you can't live up to that rule, like the NBA or the NFL says, hey, we don't want you smoking a joint before you go on the field. Well, then I think you should be smart enough not to smoke a joint. You know what I mean? And Mike Tyson fought.
Mike Tyson just fought
right before, and he smoked right before. And I'm all for that. He didn't have.
No. I don't disagree with, okay, you shouldn't smoke right before you go on field necessarily. I don't disagree with that. But the fact that they go home and smoke a joint afterwards.
I have no problem with that.
That's precluded because they have to get tested.
No, and I agree. And that's partially because they can't test it properly, right? Because there's no way of telling you.
There's no testing impairment. That's why we dovetailed to, you know, the script, shut the fuck up.
Sure.
Because, you know, driving impaired and driving while you smoke cannabis are two complete different things that there is no test for impairment.
No, I hope they never actually come out.
And you know what? I think when...
They can't.
No, go ahead.
They can't. There's no way to do it for impairment. And the thing that really sucks for when you talk about places of employment and, you know, somebody, if you're drunk at work, obviously, you know, that's a problem and you're going to get caught.
Sure.
But if you go home and drink yourself silly, wake up in the morning, you're hungover, but you go to work.
Right.
And maybe something happens and... They want to test your blood, you know, and maybe there's a little alcohol from leftover, but nothing much from the night before. Not so with cannabis.
Sure.
Somebody could have smoked a week ago, done something on their work. Say, hey, we need to test you now. Or an accident happens and they get tested. And now the assumption is it's in your blood. You must be using it. I mean, that's where the real disconnect and the problem is.
No, I'm a thorough believer that, you know, I people should be able to go home and do whatever the hell they want to do. It's their home. It's their life. It's their body.
It's their body.
Yeah, it's their world. You know, I'm a fan of that. But again, I do think that as a professional doing, you know, owning businesses and saying, hey, I don't want our staff to come in and smoke all day.
Well, no. I think the difference between smoking all day is you don't want them being quote unquote high.
Sure.
They shouldn't be high at the job. And I agree with you. But that's the fine line with cannabis is what does that even mean? But you can tell what, you know, we make fun of, you know, like, I don't think we get high. It's very rare that I think, you know, as much cannabis as we smoke, we don't get high. So you're absolutely right, Blue. I'll give you, someone should come in, they shouldn't be high.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be sitting there like they would on the couch at home after having a big joint.
But
going,
how do you regulate that?
Oh, man, I can, you know, I just
well, how do you,
I'll tell you
how do you regulate that?
I'll tell you how we regulate it.
Well, no, I know you, but I'm saying, how do you regulate it when somebody sits there and goes, hey, I'm
going
to smoke.
Well, you know if they're high or not.
You know what? Let's figure that out. When we come back right after this break.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, Pop Brothers at Law, Big Blue is here, and we are missing Joe Grande a little bit. But we want to thank Peanut, Pit, Jen, and Elvis for helping us put this show together. And we were getting into a big argument here, or a discussion. And what was it about? Because
you know,
getting high or not being high, medicated. What's the difference?
It's go ahead, Blue.
You're funny. You did that on purpose. You know what? My thought is this, guys: is it's a slippery slope. How do you, you know, one guy can smoke all day, and then you got little, you know, Craig in the side there that can't smoke a joint. He smokes a joint, and he comes in all silly. But this other Craig can smoke all day and doesn't get high. So if you allow one to do it, then they both do it. And little Craig
over here is just
falling all over the place.
No, this is why you're wrong. It's basically, you can tell doesn't matter how much someone used, whether they smoke all day or not. You can tell the guy who comes in, you can tell if he's impaired. Doesn't matter what he's on. If it's cannabis, then do you? If someone's driving under the influence of cannabis and they smoke too much and they really should not be driving, then they should be arrested for being impaired. It doesn't matter what that impairment comes from. So you can tell the guy who comes in, since his computer is all fucked up or spaced out, you can tell that and you can send him home. It's your right. But the guy who smokes all day, that's why the testing is faulty.
But what if you, that's why if you allow
testing,
it?
Testing for marijuana is faulty because you have that guy who smokes all day, not impaired. You have the guy who smoked a joint before he came in and he's all fucked up, staring at the computer, eating fucking nachos.
Well, and here's how we do it. You know, we have people who work with us, Pop Brothers at Law, some interns, you know, we've got a young attorney who's working for us. And anybody who's ever worked for us, we've been, you know, very straightforward. If, you know, we're going to be out smoking a joint, you get your shit done, you want to come join us, come, you're welcome. But you screw up anything because you were smoking, that's it. You can't do that. You can't do that anymore. You know, and we haven't had to ever tell anybody who worked for us, stop smoking, it was never an issue, because we've had people who worked for us who we'd go out. You want to come out? No, I do that when I'm done with work and when I go home. Sure. And that's what, you know, that's somebody who knows I can't take a couple hits during work because it's going to screw me up. That's a responsible person.
Yeah, no. And like I said, I think sometimes it's a slippery slope, man. You allow people to start to make those mistakes. They do. And not all the time. And don't get me wrong. I just think that if you tell the whole NBA, and a lot of these guys are coming straight out of high school, you have to imagine, and some of these kids are coming straight out of college, and they're just in their freshman and sophomore years. They haven't developed the discipline that you're talking about right now. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have that discipline. They don't know the difference. They're like, I'm smoking. I'm good. And they are
good.
But
you know what, Blue? That's their right, right? That's what you believe in. That's their right to do what they want.
But they lose a $10 million contract.
And if it interferes with their work, then they're going to suffer for that.
No, totally. That's
personal responsibility.
I think it's
can't legislate that. You can't tell. That's why the testing's bullshit. That's because there are some states where if you're a medical patient, it cannot, that solely alone cannot be used against you if you turn up negative or if you turn up positive. A few states, I can't tell you which ones, have that in their marijuana laws. In California, we're not there yet, and you simply test positive, period. It doesn't mean you were impaired. It doesn't mean anything. You could have tripped over a cord that was out in the hallway, and then you test dirty. It's because of that?
Well, no,
that's not right.
If I smoke a joint right now with you guys and we're just hanging out, and you know, and you pass it, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna hit that, and I didn't know there was some oil and some keef on it, you know, and I go ahead and hit it though, because I'm just like, I trust it.
You don't need oil and keef to get best stuff off of one hit.
No, I don't. But I'm saying if it was, and I hit that right, and I'm sitting here, and I have to do any kind of driving or any kind of discussion, you know. I'm going to not be on my A game. Personally,
you're not responsible.
Me, though. Me. But if I take a little hit and I thought it was just going to be a little hit and I'm like, oh, that was cool, it would have been fine for me. But I didn't realize, you know, that you weren't responsible when you handed it to me and said, here, this is.
That's pushing off your own personal responsibility, bro.
No, I'm just sharing with you. There's so many scenarios.
Well, no, then you'll never do that again. And that's your own fault. And you should go home, miss half a day. Because you shouldn't have done that.
You know, Joe Rogan.
You should know better.
Joe Rogan, you know, he's a comedian, and a lot of you guys
don't. Don't try to change the subject.
No, it's about the subject. It's actually about the subject. And, you know, he made a comment one time, and I was hanging out with him, and I literally was like, you know, I had a joint, and I'm like, let's smoke a joint, bro, because I was just, you know, in my head, I'm going to smoke a joint with Joe Rogan. You know, this is going to be an awesome moment for me. And I went ahead, and I pulled out a joint, and I – you know, handed him one, and I had one for myself, and he goes, oh man, no thank you. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know what I mean? You're a heavy smoker, bro. Like, I know what's up with you. You're Joe Rogan. You smoke all the time. Long story short, Joe says, you know, I don't ever smoke weed from somebody that hands it to me that I really am not, like,
I don't know.
Like, he's like, I believe that you have some.
That's responsible.
Yeah. He's like, I will not smoke anything. And he says, let me imagine this. He said, I just got off stage and you hand me a joint with sherm or some crack in it and I'm smoking. And next thing you know, I'm over here looking all funny and people. And then you're taking videos of me and catching me. And I'm just like, dude, that's freaking awesome. And at that point in my life, I was like, you know, you're right. You probably should never smoke with a stranger. You know, what do you think about that, Craig? Should you smoke with a stranger?
I did for probably 40 years.
That's what happened.
Yeah, but we were the ones giving to the strangers mostly. We're smoking and then strangers come.
I smoked with a lot of people. I had no idea who they were, what they had, what was there. That was kind of the culture.
There was trust.
You know, in 40 something years of smoking, there was no bad weed.
Oh, you know.
I can't say that I ever smoked something that ever hurt me, and I've taken hits with people that I probably shouldn't have.
Wow.
So, you know, in this day and age, though, it's unfortunate. You know, there's no more passing joints as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I see people still doing it, younger kids, and it's do what you're going to do. But we're not doing that anymore.
Well, listen up, guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Today is Christmas Eve, and a lot of you guys are out there celebrating and having fun, hopefully just listening to the Cannabis Talk 101 podcast. Enjoying yourselves. And Mark?
Yeah, we want to tell you to be very safe, be very careful, and if you are impaired, don't drive. Now, if you're out there, you visited your mom or dad and you had a glass of wine or two, a joint, a hit, you're not impaired.
Sure.
But the cops are out there in force over the holidays. They are looking for you. There's checkpoints. And what we teach and preach about the script and shutting the fuck up when cops ask questions and the 25 words, very important, especially during the holidays when you're more susceptible to being pulled over and getting hit up at a checkpoint. And checkpoint, just the same, you use the script, you keep your mouth shut. If they tell you to pull off to the side, you pull off and you just shut up. And in California, you don't have to do the field sobriety tests. Touch your nose, walk the line, all that stuff. Pre-arrest, you don't have to do the pre-arrest breathalyzer. You don't have to do politely decline. If arrested, you must do the blood, breath, or urine test, or the California DMV will take your license for 1 year. Google all that information in your state, because there are many states that have the same laws that I just described. Some do not, so you got to check. And check about that smell, because in California, smell isn't probable cause, and more states are turning that way. So keep that knowledge in your back pocket.
Louisiana,
it's probable cause.
Yep.
One other thing, guys, is the Mr. Checkpoint app. You know, if you haven't got that, he's a friend of the show. You can download that app. It'll let you know where checkpoints are at. Keep you up to date on what's going on in your local area. So it's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break.
No, we won't. We'll be loving you if no one else does.
Oh. Peace. That was a fantastic show. Thank you guys one more time. It's Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. If no one else loves you,
we do.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.